Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour or so on this July the 30th on the West Coast, now already July the 31st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone as well. The Mountain Time Zone is an hour behind us. Behind the Central Time Zone, and one in front of the Western Time Zone. So, welcome to Evident Footprints. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, we've been talking about all kinds of stuff, discerning what's going on throughout the world. There seems to be more chaos, more insanity day by day. And we seek for answers. And we have been trying to underscore the importance of looking within and discerning what's going on and doing it with a quiet mind and an open heart. And we're going to talk about tonight a topic that's not only controversial but may contain the answers that we're looking for at the same time. So I'm going to ask you not to believe anything you hear tonight. Do your own homework. Do your own research. Give it an opportunity. Give it a fair shake, in other words. And with that, we'll move on with tonight's show. This gentleman wrote a book, authored a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It's the story of David Wilcock and his, let's say, alleged memory and realization that he was in a past life the seer Edgar Cayce. I should say the seer healer, because Edgar Cayce did offer information from the etheric realm while under trance, and David Wilcock seems to be that person. Many similarities. He's leading somewhat of a different life, but he is still, again, serving humanity. And that's what this show is about tonight. Serving humanity, bringing a message forward, something that is not in the mainstream, yet many people are aware of higher consciousness and their own higher consciousness, their higher self. And so this gentleman tonight is going to be bringing some information that he has also put in a book from channeling from two of his closest friends, Terry and Daphne. And tonight we also have with us Terry. Welcome to Evident Footprints, Mr. Winfrey and Terry. Good evening, folks.
Hey, Don.
Hey, thank
you.
Having us on again.
Yes, well, it's my pleasure. This is always exciting, and it's uncharted territory. And so I'm looking forward to learning as much as the council is willing to bring forth.
I should also mention
the Ra group too. I should be fair, because we're actually dealing with two groups. So if I may insert that before I'm corrected, who would like to take over? Wynn, would you like to respond first?
Well, I would like to start. Terry, you mind if I start?
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I don't know, Terry, you might want to mute your mic. It sounds like you have some background noise until, I don't know if it's from you. But in any case, this is probably seventh or eighth time on the on Don's show. And I think that one of the things is the fact that Don has scrutinized my work carefully and looking for something that might be, how can I say it, incongruent. And I don't think he's found anything. And that in itself, for somebody like Don scrutinizing my experience and coming out with the fact that maybe this is legitimate, is a good reason to open the door for you who are listening tonight and consider that it might be legitimate. Because it's a story that involves voices that have been speaking to me for the past 6 years through personal connections and friends. And these voices apparently particularly chose me out to speak to. And as the recipient of voices speaking through people to me, I've had to go through a huge amount of my own scrutiny deciding who was talking, could I trust them, and was there value for other people? Because I wouldn't be on the show if I couldn't have this pass all those tests. So if you're listening, I would ask you to make it pass your own tests, but to take the time and test it. Don't just listen to this show as entertainment, but listen to it as a challenge to investigate something for yourself. Because what we're talking about here is a new model of who God is and how God interacts with the universe, and in particular, our planet. And how to make a better connection, or some connection, with that energy that we have thought of as God. And if I'm correct, the normal view of God is not really how it works. You can use that and still make a connection, but it's not an accurate description. The most accurate description of how these energies work beyond the veil, because we are all in this realm subjected to a veil. We can't directly see the other side. And then certain people have certain experiences, they have voices talking to them, whatever, and those people sometimes become the leaders of spiritual movements and religions, and they translate those voices, and then people take those messages and they become the new paradigm or the new model of the interaction between the energies on the other side of the veil and this side. So if I have it right, then I am one of those people who is in the middle of those kinds of communications. And I'm kind of compelled to share it and at least give people the opportunity to consider it. And Terry, who is on the show tonight, is one of those people that has actually been speaking to me or had voices speaking through her to me. And if this is correct, if what I'm saying is correct and who's speaking is speaking, then this can be a very important connection for the people who are listening. Because this is not about messages or information. This is about making connection, making your own connection to those sources that are outside of this realm, that are positive, that can help us. And that's my introduction.
Well said. You know, I had the opportunity this evening to go outside, and for the first time in probably 3 months, I saw a clear sky at night. I actually saw several planets. I saw many stars and an unusual clarity in the sky. Now, I don't know if that's because we had some serious rain. You know, there's been a hurricane passing across the central United States and sweeping over to the east, and a lot of people have been inundated with thunderstorms and various amounts of rain. And so it has a tendency, as you know, to clean the atmosphere a little bit before the next barrage of chemtrail spraying. But I could see the sky tonight, and it was kind of interesting because as much as I could see, I contemplated for a moment that what I was seeing went on endlessly. And I had really no concept of how many light years away the stars I could see were, except just to wonder how great the whole universe is, how incomprehensible it is. And so I came to the show tonight with that feeling under my belt, we'll say, so to speak. At this point, I'd like to elicit a comment from Terry. Terry has been very quiet. I think she has her phone muted. So if you have to unmute your phone first, don't forget to do that, Terry. I was wondering if you would just comment on the types of experiences that you've been having since you've been involved in some of the channeling, the information that Wynn is taking down in response to the questions he's asking, and how it's affected your daily life, the 9-to-5 grind, if you get my meaning.
That's a great question. I can hear my echo in the background, so if it's bothering you, let me know.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay. This has made a big difference in my life. It started when I was visiting Wynn, and this pressure came on the right side of my head, and it was like a knocking, a pressure, silent pressure knocking, and then there were words, and the words were saying, we want to talk to Wynn. Now, I had sat in on a channeling that Daphne did with Wynn, and I had asked if I might be able to also channel the Elohim, and the answer was yes. At that channeling, I got acquainted with their frequency, and so I was able to then tune into their frequency, straight into their frequency. So they were knocking on my head and saying, we want to talk to Wynn. And I said, Wynn's sleeping. Why don't you talk to me, and then we'll get to know each other and talk back and forth. And they said, no, we want to talk to Wynn. So I woke them up, and we got the tape recorder, and they said that they had always been with Wynn, and ever since Daphne had left, at one point she had left because it became too much for her at that point. And they said that Wynn could reach them through me. So at first I didn't really trust them. I didn't know, they seem to really, totally, completely adore Daphne. And they were just really sad that she had left because they really wanted this contact. And Daphne has a really good range of vocabulary, and I don't have as good a range of vocabulary, so they were, when they would come through me, they would be trying to express concept, and I wouldn't be able to relay the concept exactly. I'd go, wow, you know, I don't know the word. Or they might use a word like Dharma, and I'd go, well, I don't know what that word means. And they'd say, just go ahead and put Dharma in the sentence there. And I'd put Dharma in the sentence, and then I'd ask Wynn later, I said, does that make any sense? And Wynn said, it makes total sense. And sometimes they'd come through, and they'd use a word that I never heard of, and I'd say, is that a real word? And they'd say, yes, and they'd spell it for me. And They wanted me to get a better vocabulary, but I started to notice that when I was at work and I was asked to do things that were impossible, that all of a sudden they started to be able to do them. Like one attorney came and he says, I don't really want to go from L.A. to Ventura tomorrow morning, early in the morning. Is there any way you can get me out of the court appearance? And I didn't even know if the court was still open. Well, within about 20 minutes, I had him out of court appearance. Maybe it was a half an hour. I had him out of the court appearance and he didn't have to go. And so I went over and he had the biggest smile on his face that he didn't have to go. And another attorney looked at him and said, you now have that weird glow around you like the rest of us. And because there's things that I do for them, they say I'm very effective. I ask for a connection. I find people that nobody else has been able to find, and then we save a whole case because we found our client. So it's made a difference in my relationships with the world, and coincidences have gotten better. And it's a very soft, loving connection that I'm feeling more and more. And I've worked a lot on myself, so I'm able to be like a clear channel. And this is, I think, one reason that I'm able to do this.
Mm-hmm. In respect to what you're describing, if I can say so, I think you're struggling with the part of the mind, let's say the egoic mind, that's trying to make sense of the message before delivering the message. And what they were trying to get you to do was just deliver the message as it was coming through. Did your vocabulary improve at all, Terry, since you became a better channel?
Yes, my vocabulary has been increasing, sometimes due to words that they say. I'm getting to be able to express myself better. And when they're coming through, I can express myself better than just normally. For instance, I did a channeling recently on the throat chakra, and when I told Lynn beforehand, I said, I don't know anything about the throat chakra. I don't want to just get on and say the throat chakra is a blue color. But then we went and did the channeling, and it was amazing data coming through, and it was just flowing.
Yeah, it is a blue color. So,
yes.
But I'm not a channel myself, but you know, we have, there are different methods of perceiving that and or discerning that. And so when all these different, it's interesting to me to hear you say that, because we get another confirmation of something that we know from a higher place. So now, do you find yourself at times, and I guess, you know, we're going to move on to Wynn in a second. This question popped up. Do you find yourself seeking to ask them questions outside of the time period that they come to you? And I know they may come quite unexpectedly. They may decide all of a sudden this is the right time, we need to talk to Wynn, and maybe you're in the middle of typing out a letter or grocery shopping or something. Do you find yourself in your free time trying to communicate with them or having them communicate personally with you?
I do. For instance, when I was on your show previously, and I listened to your show the week after, and you're asking some kind of a question, and I was wondering how they would answer it. And I was just wondering that, and I was having lunch at a noisy restaurant, and all of a sudden they were coming in, barreling in with this beautiful, beautiful answer. And I thought, geez, if I had a tape recorder, I could tape it, and then you could put it on your show.
Do you remember the gist of what it was?
Oh, let's see, because, like, it's a whole different part where there, it's not my memory, really. It's as if it's, what do they call it when you have a computer and you have an attached hard drive? It's like it's from an attached hard drive, and it's not in my own hard drive. You were asking a question about the different things that were going on with the making of railroad cars and underground tunnels, and how will that affect us in the future. That was the gist of what you were talking about on your show, and kind of asking what would be the future concerning that. How would that affect us?
Now, without recalling the words, because I understand maybe that you don't have a USB cable or a firewire hooked up to that hard drive you're talking about, can you recall the feeling you got from their answer? In a way that maybe would explain, in a roundabout way, what they said?
Well, when you were first asking the question, I was thinking, oh, what a hard question. Nobody could answer that. And then, you know, when they were coming through and talking to me, I was thinking, oh, you know, well, that makes total sense. That's not such a hard question. And, if I could remember some of the gist of what they were saying, if I could hook up my firewire here.
Terry?
Yes.
I have a suggestion. Why don't you write it down and we'll just get it for the next time and record it and then let Don play it back. So instead of trying to struggle now with it.
Yeah, I don't know if she's struggling. I mean, if you feel like you're struggling to come up with the answer, let me know. If all of a sudden they want to share that with us, interrupt us and we'll let you talk. How's that?
Probably maybe if Wynn gets on the phone with me, and because when Wynn gets on the phone, he can ground these frequencies. He's got such a wide range of frequency, and he can really ground them, and I can do so much better when he's on the phone. So, but he's there now, and you're on the phone on the other line. But why don't we maybe see if Wynn and I can tape it over the week, and you can play it next week.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, I think that, you know, we're talking about communications with a voice coming through somebody, we're using the word Elohim, and I think it's very important to explain to people who we might be talking to and how that works, because, you know, when people hear the idea of channeling, of course, they would wonder who's talking, how do you trust it, how do you know they're who they say they are, and of course, I'm going to tell everyone who's listening, please keep asking those questions. Is I'm just sharing an experience. And we'll be playing some channelings in the course of the evening tonight so you can hear what they have actually sound like when they're talking to me or talking to a group. But if you can imagine that originally there was no universe and there was just chaos, and chaos somehow became aware of itself and became the very first unit of consciousness in the universe. And that consciousness unit, we could call the one infinite creator. As it became aware of itself, it was lonely. It was nothing else to bounce energy back and forth. And somehow it discovered it could separate, like an amoeba, and create an image of itself energetically. Now, we're talking about not physical things, just energy things. And that originally there were all these energies that kept subdividing and subdividing and subdividing. And they were aware, of each other, and they could somehow create holograms, and then the holograms would disappear. And as they were learning about creation, somehow they started developing something that persisted, that didn't disappear. And it took a group of them to do it. I'm making this simple. And this original group of energies was the Elohim. At least that's how they've explained themselves. And that over billions and billions and billions of years, our physical universe is the end result of their creation. And they are still like bunches of energies that haven't come into this realm that are monitoring it from the original space. And they're a group energy. There's millions of them. And when they speak, they have councils and sub-councils, and that there are many aspects of the physical realm, which was their creation, that have gotten out of hand. And what they did was, as this realm was being created, and that there were energy forms that became lives, free will was granted. And within the granting of free will, there was no policing of what happened. It had to police itself. So there were negative energies or beings that came into this realm that were attempting to control the other beings. And that attempt at controlling other beings ultimately is how we've come to the place we are now with the negative and, you know, the slavery and you know, the elites and the secret societies and the stuff that you talk about. Now, the Elohim is still trying to help because they've watched all this over billions of years, and they explain that they are outside of time, so that to us it's billions of years, and to them it's nothing. It doesn't exist. So they're outside of time, and they are available to us. One of the things that happened is the beings here got separated from their awareness and their connection to the all that is energy. And so the Elohim can help us, but they don't violate free will, so we have to ask. Now, for us to ask, we have to know that they exist. Now, they don't care if you call them the Elohim or God or infinite love or whatever. They don't care, but it's the strength of your intention that reaches them and allows them to feel that energy of you and say, I can see that person. They can see you when you reach. So part of what I'm doing is creating a pathway so that people can reach, and I'm helping people tune into the frequency. Now, I didn't know any of this until 6 years ago, and I've been evaluating it over time, and it's kind of like I am like able to tune their frequency in. And when I'm with someone who has the ability to channel, it's like I am the tuning thing, and then the other person can bring their voice in. And as Terry explained, once she learned their frequency, they would come in for her without me, but she had to learn their frequency. So who's talking to us is a group soul of millions of individual souls. Now, we may not be talking to the entire group. We're talking to a council within that group that I don't know how many are in that group, but they're trying to explain who they are and how they can help us and make themselves available so that others can request the assistance. Now, they've told me, what can assistance mean? You know, if you've read my story, you know they healed my sister. My sister had a medical miracle. There's other people who have been paying attention that have had miraculous things happen. As I was having this experience of communicating with them, I was trying to figure out how to share with others, implement this so it could benefit others, and what would be a way to do that. And so I got the idea of doing a conference call. And I asked them, if I did a conference call, could they work with the energy of that call and work with the people on that call and establish a connection? And they said they could. So a couple of years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, I started doing a call every Monday, and I would read excerpts of channeling. Sometimes I would play a channeling. And it was just a very small group of people, and I was very reluctant to even invite people because I wanted to see how this worked. It was like an experiment. Okay, these guys say they can work with people on the call, and people started feeling their energy. And people started to feel a shift in their space. They started to go through personal changes. The people on the conference calls started to connect with each other. They weren't just listening to me, but they were calling each other. They were becoming friends. And I was not encouraging or discouraging this. It was just happening. And then Daphne, who was living in Massachusetts, and myself, who was living in Los Angeles, and we had been separated for a while, I invited Daphne to come into the conference call because she was feeling kind of lonely and estranged, and I said, well, this is a way for her to feel connected to something. And so she started coming into the conference calls, and in one of the calls, you know, shortly after her coming in, she said they want to say something. And I said, okay. And I don't know if you're ready. Are you ready to play this one in a moment, Don?
Yeah, in fact, I have it queued up. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Elohim is the name for God in the Old Testament. The voice that I'm talking to said they were the same Elohim. They've demonstrated their ability to do certain miracles. They've demonstrated their ability to have huge wisdom of this realm. And what you're going to hear is this voice that started speaking to me through Daphne and continued through Terry addressing a public group for the first time in God knows how long on my conference call. Now, of course, since then, this has become a rather ordinary thing. We still do the conference calls. We have ongoing channelings, and we have ongoing people that are having miracles in these calls. But this was the very first time that they were on the call, and I think it's kind of a spectacular channeling. And I turn it over to you.
Okay, this is the Council of Elohim and their first communication.
The first public communication.
Has been a very long time in coming. We bid you welcome. We bid you love, light, peace, and are very honored at the infinitesimal beauty of your essences, which we see shining as bright diamonds. You are indeed intergalactic sojourners. Your own brilliance, your own love, your own caring, your own vastness of interdimensionality, and your own sacrifices, many of which you are unaware, honor us. For you, as a race, as fledgling humans, cast into the darkest, densest liquid medium of 3D are attempting to do, to pull off, in your colloquial term. Something which has never successfully been completed, which is to insert love light, a liquid stream. Imagine liquid gold into a system of duality, into a system of competition, of dominion as power, as might, not compassion, and to lift this duality into the Trinitarian triune consciousness of Mother, Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit can take place. A certain pinching upwards of the skin, the etheric skin of your earth, lending itself as a doorway, as a portal, as a bridge into the higher realm. What this necessitates in the evolving individual is a heart which is open. We do not require perfection, but we do require a loving intent. Mistakes are to be dusted off as one falls down, gets up, dusts oneself off. We would ask you not to hold yourself back, to beat yourself up, because all is spinning ever faster and ever more intensely now. You, on planet Earth, are entering a time of vast economic, climactic, monetary, political instability. There is order to it, but it is chaotic. Even chaos has its own inherent order. It is basically 3D breaking down. We say this not to instill fear, but rather to instill a sense of preparedness and to understand that your anchor point can no longer be anything you reference outside of yourself. It must be within yourself, within your heart. It must be within your community of spiritual, like-minded persons and animals and nature and Mother Earth. Naturally, you still require food and shelter. But these things shall slip and slide and change very quickly. Be prepared for quick changes. Be prepared also, as you are being prepared genetically, for your body to start releasing vast amounts of stored toxins, aches, pains, colds, all of these things. They shall come up. Bless them. Talk to your guardian angel. Ask them to slow down the process if it is too intense. But know that there is an end to it, of God, of the Christed essence, also referred in your spiritual practices as Great Mother, Father, Sky, Great Mother, Earth, the essence of Kuan Yin, the Buddha. The list goes on. We are the Council of On. We are a subset of the Council of the Elohim. The earth is under our care, is under our auspice of diligent oversight, gentle persuasion, correction, if we can do so without violating that which is paramount, being free will. You see, at this time, in 2007, there is an accumulation of enough magnitude approaching what you call critical mass that is certain lifting off. So, in the middle, it can be very uncomfortable. We send you blessings, dear ones. We surround your heart in a silver, gold, galactic frequency of love light. Know that you are protected, that you are loved. You are watched over. You may call on us at any time. And we will always hear and always answer your prayers. Do not despair. Have patience. Be vigilant. Be discerning. Have courage. And take heart. For you are now initiated. You are spiritual sojourners. We shall end this with an ohm.
And that's the first message. Now, Wynn, what was the response of those on the call after that message?
Well, I think people had their jaws dropped. It's kind of like it was a historic. Those that have been paying attention to me and studying my material were kind of predisposed to think that maybe I was talking to who they say they were. And for those of you that are listening, there's a couple of things. Let me just say that there's a website called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, which you can listen to and hear the whole story and read some of the original channelings. And also there's a free ebook that I send out to people called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And you can email me at winfree@yahoo.com. And that book, at least part of it, in its form at that completion of that time, most of the people on the conference call had read. And it's a pretty convincing and compelling story of this whole circumstance in my life, of these guys talking to me and asking numerous questions and me picking out what I thought were the most important questions for other people that they would like to know about how other realms interact with this realm. So I was not expecting this to be on the call, but there it was. And, you know, that it was very exquisitely expressed. And, you know, as Terry mentioned, Daphne has a great presentation voice, a great vocabulary, but her personality is nothing like that voice that was you just heard. You know, her normal personality would be, oh, it's too bright in here, could we get the lights down? Or she's very sensitive to her environment. She's very, very sensitive and very shy and retiring. And suddenly that very authoritative voice comes through her, and it was very dramatic.
It's very similar to a lecture, actually. And when she talks in normal conversation, I've heard her actually on this recording, she says something like, yeah, that would be a good idea. It comes out totally in a different frequency.
Right.
So, yes, that's understandable.
Now, when some of the people who are listening to that, as you played it, might have noticed, if you're sitting down and in a quiet place, towards the end of it, there's a very subtle change in the energy around you. Because I've come to learn that since the Elohim is outside of time, that when you play a recording like that, where they're speaking, they can feel, they can connect with it and come into this realm. Their frequency gets tuned in by that recording. And some people who are sensitive can feel a light energy come in as that plays, particularly towards the end. It kind of builds up. So that's how they feel in this realm. They feel like, if you've ever attended a spiritual group and felt a lot of light in the room, or, you know, a sense of holiness, very likely they're coming in into this space. And it's kind of like, to imagine it, they are outside of time and space. And there's all these matrices between them and us. There's different levels of time, different densities, and they are master architects. So they are the constructors of many of these matrices, if not all, maybe all of them, I don't know, but they can move their energy through these matrices and arrive in this realm as light energy. And
now, Wynn, I would like to make a comment here and, yeah, and ask you a question.
Yeah.
I've listened to this recording several times, actually. You know that I sort of assembled the separated recordings into one continuous stream so that it's in one file. And the first time I listened to it, and now as I listen to it, I had the distinct recollection of having heard this message before. But not just the message, Daphne's voice. Have you had that experience at all in going back, like, or maybe in, while you're hearing the message, as if you heard it before through that voice? Have you had that experience? That's kind of out there, but, you know, we call it déjà vu, in, you know, already seen in our earthly, physical, and mental constructs. Sometimes we'll be doing something and we'll stop and say, wow, I remember foreseeing this 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember having a dream when I was a child about this. And now this scene is right before me.
It was
one of those experiences for me.
I don't know if I would use the word déjà vu. I know what déjà vu means.
Well, déjà vu, actually. Vu means already not, you.
Okay.
Déjà vu is already seen.
Sorry.
French lesson.
All right. But what I would say is that when they started talking to me, you know, if I would imagine that the Elohim was talking to me, I would be very intimidated. I mean, that's what I would have thought. I would have thought, how would I talk about? What would I talk about to them? I mean, who am I? I'm just, you know, a dumb earth person. But what happened was, when these communications started, I found myself talking to them just like I talked to you. You know, it's like I wasn't intimidated, and it was kind of as if we knew each other, or we had done this before, and of course, I actually did learn that I had done this before in other lifetimes. So when the communication started, it was very easy to just go with it. Even though my mind was skeptical, I still had to go through the stages of proving it to myself. It was surprisingly comfortable to have casual conversations with them.
Mm-hmm. I could clarify what I'm saying and expand on it just a little bit by saying that the feeling and the understanding of what they're saying comes through the same time as if they're they're speaking words that have a code, or they're encoded with the ability to unleash or to assist us in unleashing higher consciousness, or maybe making that connection with higher consciousness. In other words, the higher self would release that information into the consciousness of the individual. In other words, bringing it out of the subconscious or bringing it down from a higher place. So it's a remembering. It's so deep that I recognize the voice, if that makes any sense.
I think it will. You know, you probably have your own cellular memory with them in other lifetimes. So when you hear it, it wakes up your cells. You know, if you recall at the end, they said, you are initiated. Remember they said that?
Mm-hmm.
And what I took that to mean was that in that recording, there was their frequency. And those people that were listening to it, that were really feeling the energy, were being initiated to their frequency. It was like meeting a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's an invisible friend, it's not one that's visible in this realm, once you knew their frequency, you could reconnect. And so it was an initiation. And, you know, spiritually, people have had initiations, you know, many of spiritual disciplines have initiations, like the Catholic religion has baptism, which I would call an initiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Symbolic connection of energies. Well, this is the real deal. This is them. Those of you who are listening, I would recommend you go into the archives and play that recording 20 times, once a day, and find out just what happens to your own connections to higher spirit, because they're in there.
Now, I notice, I've heard other channels, and some channels really go through a big transformation. Their physique changes. Now, I've seen Daphne on a YouTube video channeling. I've seen her channeling music, and I've seen the expression, but she has a way, she's very natural at it. She has a way of modulating her voice that it's as if she's telling a story, but she's not stumbling for words. She's not stammering. She's not fighting the information. It's just like a steady stream. It's just flowing through her.
Well, one of the things that came through some of my questions, I think both through Daphne and Terry, is that Daphne... You know, the Elohim, I said, are outside of this realm. And they haven't been here. And the ones that have come here, because there are Elohim that have incarnated into this realm, in general have gotten stuck here. And they've had many, 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 many lifetimes. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, God knows what. This realm is very hard to get out of once you're here. It's kind of like you're stuck in a wall of mirrors, and it's hard to see, it's very hard to make this connection with interdimensional things that are outside of this realm. And so what came through is that Daphne was in fact an Elohim soul that had come into this realm eons ago to try to help, and that she got stuck here. And in fact, it came out also that Daphne and I had made an agreement to work together in this realm. And apparently we've done that over past lifetimes. And when we met again this lifetime, all the bells and whistles went off in terms of our interaction. So even though she's an Elohim, she's picked up all this dross, karmic dross, which over many, many lifetimes, and that what they said was that actually doing the service of channeling would help her regain or reconnect with her angelic heritage, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that wants to see her, you can go to YouTube and go Daphne Wynn Elohim Vortex. Daphne Wynn Elohim Vortex. And you'll see a couple of her channelings. So, in any case, let me see what time it is.
We still have some time. We can roll.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep Seth up late again tonight?
Yes.
Okay. All right. There was an instance. I didn't put these in order. There was one other instance where Daphne had done a public channeling. And it was quite an extraordinary incident. Again, Daphne was in Massachusetts, and I was in Los Angeles, and BBS Network had just started, and I think when it first started, somebody referred me to Don Newsom, and Don heard my story, and he said, "Wynn, you have the most far-out story I ever heard. Would you like to put it on the radio?" So I said, "Okay." So I talked into a cassette tape, and I sent it to Don. And then Don and I kept talking every day, and we were having these really creative conversations. And I suggested to Don, "Why don't we record our conversations and put it up on your network, and we'll call it the Don and Wynn Show?" That's how we started, okay? And so that show has been going on now for quite some time. And it's on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And mostly I don't talk about this kind of stuff on that show. We did originally, but then it kind of got, you know, Don is interested in talking about certain things political and just in honoring the things that are important for him to talk about. I just kind of was on the show supporting the things that were important to him. I'm not just insisting to talk about channeling and Elohim. But in December of 2005, I had invited Daphne to be a guest on the show. And the intent was to just have her talk about her experience and realize that it was important to other people. Because she kept thinking that she was crazy and that I was crazy, and that this was meaningless to people. And so she was on the show, and we were interviewing her, and Don was talking to her. And then suddenly she said, "You know, they want to say something." And Don said, "Okay, well, we'll let them do that." And so we had a channeling on BBS of Daphne. Now, the voice that came through Daphne didn't identify itself as the Elohim. They identified themselves as the Council of Twelve. And apparently, the Council of Twelve is a group. The Elohim can transmit energy into this realm. And the Council of Twelve looks for places where that energy should be transmitted. And then they petition the Elohim, I'm just making this up, but maybe there's a bunch of yogis meditating in Tibet, and they're creating a really great energy. The Council of Twelve might pick up that energy and say, "The Elohim, you could come in here because there's enough energy for you to ground." That's how I understood them. Now, I'm saying the Elohim, but apparently they do that with the Ra group also. And I don't want to confuse the issue by explaining too much about the Ra group, but it's another group soul that's dedicated to our evolution. So I was not aware of the Council of Twelve, and they came through Daphne, and so I asked them to define themselves. And then at one point in the interview, I said, "Listen, can you blast everybody with some great energy?" And they said they could, and they did. And I felt this energy come over me. So every time that's played, I would suggest, if you're listening tonight, sit still, turn off your background music. If you're going to listen to this, shut your eyes, and if you're sensitive to your third eye and kind of lights around that, you may notice a huge energetic shift during this channeling with the Council of Twelve. Again, this was on the Don and Wynn show in 2005, 2 years before the channeling that we did on the conference call, the first channeling. And listen, Terry is being very patient while we're playing all of Daphne's channelings. We're going to move into some of Terry's channelings tonight also. And at another time, we're going to play more of this, because this is a very fascinating thing, the history of this work and how it has manifested itself to me. And I really appreciate the opportunity to present it on your show, Don, you know, because I've never done it with the channelings like this before in such a supportive environment. So with that, let's play the Council of Twelve addressing the public again, maybe for the first time in history, on the Don and Lynn Show.
This is the Council of Twelve.
We'll send them a tape of the show, huh?
Okay.
You know what?
Brad, do you have a question on?
Oh, no. It was just
following through. I don't have anything to say.
I was going to say maybe one day we'll have a show where people can actually call in and speak with Mix X and ask her questions that they've been dying to know, because, you know, a lot of my questions, I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too many questions. But there are others that have tons of questions, and they haven't reached that place that they're still searching, and they have tons of questions, and I don't know what they are, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners would love to be able to call up someone like Miss X and just ask away, and if...
Well,
if that's in the cards, maybe it's something you can consider and think about.
Maybe we can have one of the sources come through, and we have to be careful with that because it's so sensitive and she's so sensitive. But maybe if we filter the questions, we can ask them to a source and have it right on the air.
Yeah,
I think that actually would be a better way to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think it's good to I think she would agree here, is that there's a difference between what she knows in her conscious mind and what, you know, what comes through her.
Yeah.
But and the other thing about hooking in with a source, and this is something that is probably new information for most people, so listen to this one carefully. Most people who channel an individual entity. When you channel a group soul, you're not channeling an entity, you're channeling an energy that suddenly has a voice. And that energy is not far and removed. When we think of a celestial source as being far away or, you know, some other star system, actually, that energy can move right into your space, and then it has a voice. And although many of us have felt celestial sources in our space, we felt it in all this vibration around us and upliftment, it's not often that vibration and energy has a voice. Like David Wilcock is a super voice for a group soul that is Ra. And
just interrupt. They are very eager to talk right now if you want them. You have to do a protective invocation first.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Don?
I would be delighted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, I usually do this at the end of the show, but we're going to do a clearing right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect all of us present and every person that's listening, no matter where they are. And we ask that any negativity be taken to the realms, the higher realms of light, and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. And we ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources operating in the Christed energy, service to others. And do we have a source that would like to say hello to the blogging audience right now?
We of the celestial realm ask for the protection of Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Ezekiel, Ra'el, Uriel, the Council of Twelve, the Council of Saturn, the Council overseeing the emanations of the Hunab Ku. We invoke the Christed consciousness of the Christ light and all sentient beings, animal, Devic, human, involved in the ascension process, taking way on Terra as we so speak, moving her from density 3 through 4 into 5 and upwards. We presently speak to you from the Council of 12, the Oversoul Council of our solar system. Have you questions for us this evening? We are indeed very, very pleased to have this opportunity presented to us for such dissemination of light to so many who can serve and uplift their fellow humans. We take this as a grave responsibility and huge honor. Have you queries for us at this time?
I'll ask a question on the behalf of all those people who are listening. And each person individually wants to know how they can participate in their own life in the best way for the upliftment of this planetary process. Could you share that, please?
Go to the source. Go to the center. Go to what is in your heart. We are trained here in this Western culture especially to ignore the promptings, the intuitive pleadings, the emanations of the heart. Some call it the intuition, the gut instinct. This is almost always correct. We are too rationalistic a culture, too intellectualized a culture. Not that the mental is negative, but the mental, and thus the ego, is to serve the soul, not to be master of the soul. Right now, we are struggling within a third dimensional structure that is enslaved by rules. Rules which serve the ego. The ego dominates world politics, world business, oppression, mercenary war, not the heart. As leaders such as the Dalai Lama have said, strive for compassion for all, for harmlessness for all. For in the end, we are all the same. We all cry. We all hurt. We all need love. We all need food. We all need shelter. We all need each other. Look at your disaster here in the United States. Look at Katrina. Look at what happens when suddenly a natural catastrophe takes away the very existence of life, the technologies which we have come to rely on as the most concrete. They are not the most concrete. Physical things are not the most concrete. It is what is in the soul and how we treat others. This indeed is the most concrete. And we will continue to manifest these lessons as long as we are intolerant of others, because others are only aspects of ourselves. The more quickly we can accept ourselves and our own imperfections, the more quickly we can harmonize with others of different dispositions and understand that differences, like colors, like musical tones, like different plates on a table, different delicacies, are to be savored for their differences, not to be juxtaposed and judged one against another. There is room for multitude and plentitude. Variety is a good thing, not bad. We must learn to rejoice and see beauty in variety. This is one of the most pressing points. There is much polarization, especially here in the United States, in terms of political spectrum. Things become heated here emotionally very quickly. There is an eroding middle class. Canada, Europe, Australia, even India, at this point, has a larger middle class than does the U.S. This started happening in the 70s. In order to have a large middle class, one must have an educated populace. Once the public school systems are eroded and you only have an elite populace and a disinformed populace or a media misinformed populace, then divisiveness can start. This is what has happened in the United States. The U.S. is actually at a very critical juncture because karmically she is a way shower for the rest of the world. And yet, there is much she has to learn from others, especially as regards humility. Americans have many, many good things in their character. But the one American characteristic, we speak generally now, of course, archetypally, not of individual people, is the country as a whole must learn to cooperate as part of a world, must learn to take her place among the world stage, not as a braggart, not as the mightiest and the greatest, not as a teenage rebellious soul, for she is a young country. She must learn to cooperate.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Could I ask you to explain how the Council of 12 operates and its role in the affairs of our solar system?
Now, you're the disciples of Christ?
Yes.
Yes. We are likened unto the disciples of the Christ. We are the direct emissaries to the Galactic Council, which oversees the rising vibration of your current planet Earth, but also the solar system, for your sun too is rising in vibration. And the entity now channeling, in a previous experience, actually was given information pertaining to a dimensional shift in which there would be an experience of a binary star system at the end of the shift. For it is not just Terra alone that is shifting. It is indeed the entire solar system. Does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. Don, would you like to ask a question?
I would like to ask if there are any suggestions that could be made by the Council of 12 that we can, that what we're trying to do here with Blogging Service and BBS Radio, whether there are any suggestions you could make that would help in our endeavors to reach and uplift mankind, and anything that you'd like to say on that behalf would be helpful.
The Council applauds your efforts greatly. One suggestion is to make information, interviews, such as the one with Carla Ruckert and your upcoming guest, and various others, available in either transcript format or recordable CDs, which people may order from you. This is one possible way of disseminating the information even further.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we ask that perhaps you could send blessings to everyone that's listening and energy into their space so they can have some experience of upliftment and a reference point. Can that be done?
Yes. The Galactic Council, the overseers of the Council of 12, energized by the Hunab Kul, the Galactic Center, the emanation of the Christ consciousness, now envelop all listeners, all sentient beings, and uplift their hearts with golden, silver energy of the magenta ray of the harmlessness, unconditional love ray of the dolphins, of the whales, of the oceans, of the trees, of Gaia herself. Spend time in nature. Behold what you have been given, and behold how you treat her. For how you treat her is how you treat others, and ultimately how you treat yourself. Spend time with children, your loved ones, animals. Slow down your hurried pace. Take time to breathe. It is better to do one thing well and simply with love than many things half-heartedly. Be centered, be present. Now is the only time that there is. There is no past and future as we move into multidimensionality and non-linearity. There are points. One is called Chronos, linear time. The other, Kairos, non-linear time. Atonement, the Christed energy. They intersect at a place ruled by the planetoid Chiron, which means the ultimate wound within the self, which must be healed so that one can then serve the planetary destiny and fulfill the Dharma for which one's birth contract was prearranged and made. It is time now for the indigo children and the crystal children to awaken. And the indigo children are not just the children now. Indigos started to come in as early as after the Second World War. The majority of indigos came in after 1978. Those children born after 1993 are primarily crystal children. The crystal children actually can see the emanations of the energies of which we speak. The indigos are aware of the energies and are more likely to feel them and intuit them in their body. But with time and practice, their inner eye, third eye, can be awakened to see the beautiful geometrical forms which look like the inside of a light prism put inside of a kaleidoscope. We bless you. We thank you. We are honored by you. We wish to serve you. Bring us your tears, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, and your questions. We bid you good night. Blessings to all. Love, peace, and may everyone have what they need, always and forever. Adonai, Adonai, Zebaioth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that was an absolute treat, Wim.
Well done. Let's thank Girlfriend X for coming to the plate.
Thank you very much, Miss X. I must say, you are a treasure and a delight as always.
I think we have to thank the council. I'm just the radio.
Well, you have to volunteer.
I guess to come
to the plate.
But you know what? But wouldn't you say we should call this Tales of a Reluctant Channel.
And that was the Council of 12. That other voice that responded to Don, that was not me, Don Nikoloff, impersonating Don Newsom. That was Don Newsom, the co-founder of BBS Radio. Very interesting message there, Wynn. Have we lost you, Wynn?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Sorry, I had my phone on mute.
Okay.
Keep in mind that happened in December of 2005, and Daphne was in Massachusetts. I was in California, and it was not intended to be a channeling. It was intended to be something where Don had looked at some of Daphne's material and was acknowledging it, and she said she was a reluctant channel, and she was and probably still is. And it was just, my intent was that she would feel that her work was important to other people, and we were just going to talk to her and interview her. So that was quite a surprise, and pretty much a knock your socks off channeling.
Now there were a few parallels in what came through in that message. I've had some recent conversations with Don Newsom myself in regard to the CDs, for example. I've had requests and I've let my listening audience know, and I should probably advertise this a little bit. I'm getting to the point now where I have enough archives that I can actually create an MP3 file with hours and hours and hours of, let's say, easily 2 months of archives on one CD in an MP3 format. And I am going to do that, and that is something definitely that would help get this message out there.
You know, so. I'm not sure when we did that channeling. Maybe he did. I'm trying to think if Don had archives up at that point. Maybe he did. I think he did.
And they referred to some things that I know from metaphysics, from seeing auras and understanding the chakras and that. That when they called the magenta light, they're calling a light I recognize in the heart center. It's usually a tinge of magenta light that almost tops or caps the heart, which is usually a green, a very rich green color, vibrant green, when one's heart center is opened. And it's interesting that they chose that color. I described the color just like they did, even the function of it. So there was resonance in that message for me as well.
You know, the energy, if you meaning the listeners tonight, happen to feel that energy on these channelings, then you would be interested to know about our ongoing conference calls, because they're happening now every night of the week. And the idea is to create a reference point of that energy so that you can learn to hold it in your space no matter what's happening in the world. Because that's what I decided was an important aspect of what I could share with people. And I started just doing it on Mondays, but the people that started coming on Mondays said they wanted it more often, so they started doing it different days of the week. They volunteered. Mm-hmm. And I asked in a channeling, I said, well, would you work with Wayne on Tuesday, and would you work with Suzanne? And they said they would. So it's kind of like, even though I'm on the call on Monday, there's different people doing it every week, and then, you know, during of course, we have the Matthew call on Wednesday, which you heard, and it's kind of creating, the world's going through changes, and holding this energy is very important, because many people are isolated. They don't have spiritual friends. They don't have, a community. So there's been like a telephone community that's developed around these channelings, and many of the people that are checking in regularly are having little miracles happen for them.
Mm-hmm. So, the assessment, I found that the assessment of the middle class is very accurate when you look at the fact that that's 2.5 years ago, they were already perceiving on their level what only a handful of people are awakening to right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were many people that are aware of what's going on in the financial community, and the it's the intentional destruction of the middle class is what we're experiencing. They deliver the message with a positive ending in that it's the crumbling, the falling apart, the caving in of the third dimension, and that this is going to shift. It's going to move. It's going somewhere else. It's the change that Barack Obama is promising, but it's coming from a totally different place. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We've been sharing Daphne, and we mm-hmm. have Terry on as our guest tonight also. So
yes.
I wanted to insert a little bit about what while Daphne was doing. See, Daphne did not want to do this. She was running away from it. You know, after we were together initially, she I thought I'd never see her again. She was like running down the street scared. They were like, you know, bringing in this level is pretty tricky into this realm. So, Daphne, this is, we go back to 2002, and Daphne had left me. And we, after 6 months of, you know, this experience, which you can read on conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and then I was kind of really despondent. And Daphne and I have this ancient connection. And after a few weeks of her being gone, I called up Terry, who has been my friend for years and years, and I asked her. I said I was really hurting, and she came over. And in the middle of the night, she woke me up and started talking to me through her. Well, I was skeptical at first. I thought she was maybe jealous of Daphne, but after about 2 months, I became sure it was the same voice. So through this period, I was asking, they just opened themselves up to answer any question I could come up with. And, I was trying to understand the relationship between them and us. And I was trying to understand how I could utilize this experience for the benefit of other people. As you can tell, Don, and I appreciate very much being able to speak so freely on your show, because this is a wild experience, and it's kind of pushes everybody's catalytic buttons, no matter what. And so I had no idea how to put it out in the world. One thing I didn't want is I didn't want to be elevated. I didn't want to be thought of in any special, how can I say it? What's the word? I didn't want people to elevate me, and because I didn't think I could live up to it. In the same token, I wanted to put it out so that other people could make the connection. So it's been kind of a trial and error experimental thing about how to do that.
We live in a world of idol worship, and I'm sure you were trying to avoid that. Maybe that's the term you were searching for, is that you didn't want to be worshipped.
No, I didn't want to be worshipped. I wanted to be used. I wanted to be of service, and I didn't want to be worshipped. And you know what? They don't want to be worshipped either. I asked them in one of the channelings, and this is in my book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. I said, do you guys really like being worshipped and throughout our history? And they said, not really. They said, they prefer to look at it as they can be our companions. They can help us. And that, they're just part of us. They're a different, they're like us, but they're just pure energy. And we're pure energy, but we're stuck in bodies, so we're contracted.
Mm-hmm.
So they can help us uncontract. And that's what they want to do, and they can make connection with you. This is not something to believe in. They can connect with you, and there's a point where you can learn to feel their energy and their vibration, and you'll know it's them. But I was asking all these questions to Terry for probably a couple of years, running a tape recorder. Now, initially, Terry was very, very, very shy. And the kind of authority that you heard Daphne speak with just now was very far removed from Terry. But her information level that was coming through her was awesome. And actually, from that time till now, she has gotten to be quite extraordinary in her abilities to address the public through channeling. And but it was not her natural thing to stand in front of the public or be in a public circumstance and let a voice come through you and suddenly start speaking to everybody. Now, there's another aspect to this, is when you're channeling in a public way, it's there's always the possibility that a negative source could come through. Now, I don't believe that's ever happened in a public channeling with me. But I'm not sure that in every situation, every channeling has always been... I've had to ask questions. I wonder where that came from. So putting something into a public channeling... it's not something to do casually. And the thing that protects one is a high level of service and no desire to show off, and a group consciousness that's developed amongst whoever you're channeling towards. So, say for example, my conference line has a group consciousness consistently, and people that are non-judgmental and have learned to accept this as real. So it's not hard to do a, be sure you're doing positive channelings, because there's a protection within that. When you're channeling and you have a bunch of skeptics or people with a lot of negative energy, it's far more dangerous. And it's dangerous for the channel, and it also increases the potential to have a negative source come through, because there's not enough protection. And Jerry, you know, do you want to make a comment about that?
When I channel, I generally tune right in to their frequency, and they come in, like, I ask them to be with me, and they come and they kind of hold my head, and they say, "Don't worry, we won't let you down." But I know the frequency, and so I don't have a lot of trouble with getting a negative source. But there was one time when a negative source did come in, and I was, like, the information was coming through, and I was resonating with it, and it all was, it just seemed right, and all of a sudden, I was not getting information that I could identify with in any way, and so I just stopped cold, didn't say any of it, and I just stopped cold, and I asked the Ra group, whom I'd been channeling, to reset with me and to come in and to lift off that negative. And they did, and then I was right back on track. But I do have a sense of the energy that's coming through, and so that's very helpful.
Now, if I could make a point, and this is for the listening audience, because I can hear some people thinking out there. You see, when you dabble in these things, you get the evil spirits, you get the negative energy. And I want to clarify something from a discerning vantage point outside of this activity. This is not something that I participated in while it was being recorded, while the information was coming through. Yet I know that there are entities constantly seeking the opportunity to move into such a situation for several reasons. Number one, they're disembodied. They have no way of expressing themselves. And another reason is there are those that do not want this information coming out. If you're revealing something that is going to direct mankind, especially those who are asleep, spiritually asleep, and maybe even mentally asleep, consciously asleep, they don't want this information to come out because it changes the paradigm. It changes the paradigm to the extent that they lose some of the power that they've taken hundreds and thousands of years in cultivating for the purpose of just controlling the rest of us and enslaving us. And so those entities may come in for that very purpose, to stop the truth or to stop higher consciousness. And, you know, again, I stress, we're not asking you to believe this. Wynn has said this. Terry, in so many words, has said the same thing. Use your own discernment. Listen to it. Seek higher protection if you pray to God. And if this is scary to you, no one's asking you to accept it and make it part of your life. When you are ready for it, it will come to you. And you will come to it. It will happen both ways. It's the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And it works the other way too. When the teacher is ready, the student appears. So I've got a clip up, Wynn, if you want, that we can listen to Terry talk about how the Elohim intervene. And that's a segue from your split with Daphne, where Terry came in to sort of heal the wounds.
This was an answer to a question, and this is very interesting. And I wanted to say, make a comment on something you said, and that is that, you know, doing this does expose one to negative forces, and one has to learn to be strong enough to hold against that. But on the other hand, as far as I can tell, this is the only way the positive forces have of making themselves known and helping people connect with them. And I believe throughout our history, this is the way that many of the people who were prophets got their information. And this whole idea of group souls was far too sophisticated. So it was just spoken of as God. And in a sense, these group souls are the first breakaway from all that is. And they're the probably, maybe, as close as we can get to all that is in as a human. But the way they work is they honor free will. So if they're going to do something down here, they have to be asked. Now, the common term, the human term for asking is what? You know what that is, Don? Prayer.
Prayer or just the concept of someone else saving you, you know, the Savior. Prayer and the Savior would be the one mm-hmm. coming to the aid of the person who's praying.
Well, let me say, I would not like to use the word Savior. I would like to suggest that each of us is part of all that is. And so each of us lives multidimensionally. And when we start an intention that penetrates to the part of ourselves that's in other realms, things happen here first in other realms. They happen as etheric things that precipitate into reality. At least that's the easy way to make things happen.
Yeah, I use the word Savior when demonstrate what people tend to do when they pray.
Right.
They pray to someone expecting someone to save them. So I'm referring.
Well,
I'm not endorsing that necessarily.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain how I've learned how it actually works, which is each of us has the ability to vote towards something in this reality and to start to create it. And when a few of us get together and make a group energy, then that ability to create from other realms gets even stronger. Now, when a few of us get together and we learn how to call in the frequency of these soul groups and request their help, then what happens is, instead of a little group of 10 people, you suddenly have 100,000 or a million or whatever participating in your request. Now, they cannot violate free will. So that doesn't mean you can ask their help to, say, do some dreadful deed down here, because that would violate free will. But you can ask for their help, and what I always say is for the highest good of all concerned, because they want to help, and when they can feel a strong enough intention down here, they can resonate with it and add to that intention and help to shift something. So this is a short little excerpt from Terry, where they say, essentially, a little bit about how that works. And take it away.
Okay, this is how the Elohim intervene.
Yes.
In terms of Los Angeles,
we were just working with Los Angeles. Before you spoke.
Just now?
Yes.
Does it help to do these channelings for Los Angeles?
Yes, it does. And then it focuses energy into the area.
Are you actively making physical movements into the space to stop something from happening? Or would that more likely be Ra?
We are actually doing that. We are making movements into the space also. But Ra is a different frequency.
How would the Elohim manifest into the space? I understand there are orbs. Is that, round colored orbs that come in and do things? Is that a manifestation that the Elohim would choose?
Our manifestation is, it's more of a light, a very, doesn't weigh very much, light, that kind of light. It's brilliant, say. The words are, it's a pervasion, pervading of the spaces with energies, and in bringing the energies in, we bring light and love with those energies, which then pervades the space and to help ease up the tensions and the troubles of the entities living in the area.
But suppose, for example, someone was going to set off a bomb and it needed a physical interaction to cause it not to go off. Is that possible?
Yes.
Is that something the Elohim would do? Or would that be delegated down to a lower group?
It's if you ask and then you receive it's something that they energy that you ask would be it would be only group souls or entities with the power to diffuse the devices that would be able to diffuse the devices, and it would likely not be delegated.
So the Elohim would do it directly?
Yes, or Ra also would do it directly. They, as the request was heard or the decision was made to start the diffusion into effect.
Would a diffusion like that happen on a molecular level or on a physical level? Or would it be decided at the moment? I don't know if you understand the question. Do you understand my question meaning?
Being that the molecular is a level of the physical, then the answer would be physical, and it would have to be... I understand your question. It would more likely be on a molecular level. A level that would take into account all of the forces and all of the aspects of the device. freezing it in some manner to diffuse it. Freezing not meaning cold.
Now, if those devices weren't located by other people, might they have been diffused by a higher interdimensional source?
It is conceivable that within the realm of Daphne was here because she's got more words. It is within the realm of possibility is close, but it's not exactly the right word. It is within the realm of what can happen. That there is this, it is within the realm of what of the abilities of our groups to manifest within your realm. Whether or not that would have been based upon the prayers and desires and the consensus desire.
So it would be decided in the moment.
Right. Yes.
Okay. I think that's the end of that segment.
Yes. Now, that's a different tone. It was kind of funny there, Terry. You were acknowledging Daphne's vocabulary. But I understand the feeling, because often when I am doing a rant on this show, I'm searching for a word and I'm tuning in to the spiritual meaning or the spiritual feeling in the context of what I'm saying. And often the mind is just observing. It's not participating as much. And that's something that's very similar to what a channel goes through, in that you're keeping your mental processes out of the way, and yet the word that you're looking for may not be a word that you're used to using in your conscious state. When you were speaking from, let's say, your ego self or your waking state, we'll say. Not that you're asleep when you're channeling, if you get my meaning. Do you want to make a comment about how you were feeling when that message came through?
Yes, I was feeling pretty frustrated because they were trying to get across concepts and I was getting the concepts, but I didn't have the words to express it, and they were actually getting some frustrated with me because they missed Daphne. It was actually, I think, them saying, them plus me saying they wish Daphne was there because Daphne has a very large vocabulary and is able to just bring through the words and flow with it. But I've gotten better with more practice, so things flow a lot better with me now.
Yes, and it's really, when you're allowing the message to come through, it's just allowing the message to come through rather than embellishing it or changing it into something that you might say, just like the statement you just made. They may not make that same statement in that manner. They would use bigger vocabulary.
Exactly. They would use bigger words. For instance, sometimes they'll present me with concepts, and I won't know what the word is, and they'll say the channel doesn't know what the word is.
You know, Don, the content of that message, keep in mind that that was not addressing a group audience. That was just Terry and I in a room together and me rattling questions off, trying to understand who these guys are and what they can do and how the interaction works. And the important thing about that particular message is they were explaining that they could stop a weapon from going off, but they would need enough prayers to give them permission to do it. They would need enough requests. It's kind of like each of us is voting all the time, and they're like looking at the collective of humanity and measuring the vote. And if the vote comes out okay, they can do something. And if the vote doesn't, for example, if we lived in a world where people are running around saying, I hate Arabs, I hate Americans, we got to kill them, we got to do this, we got to do that, and there's a frenzy of hate going on, guess what? They have to back off because no one is asking for their help. Now, the truth of the matter is, most people want peace. Most people don't want war. Most people don't have prejudice towards their neighbors or their other countries. But it is very possible to whip people up into a frenzy by, as you know, creating some kind of episode down here that looks like somebody else did it, and suddenly you have people that want peace suddenly hating other people because somebody they know was killed or hurt or maimed. And so it is so important that we keep our hearts open and our requests to the higher forces going on a constant level, because I believe that that is the hope we have for the future.
Now, you and I have had this conversation actually maybe somewhat on some of the earlier shows that we did. However, you know, recently, very recently, off the air, you and I talked about this, and I raised the issue of the numbers, in that how, you know, it's one thing to say, well, if there are enough people, what if we have another Gandhi type? And that was a comment that I made to you, if you recall that you have one person. Okay, there's a whole country, India, that followed him, and other people around the world became aware of his mission, his mission, and I see the fight, really. He was the one that was steadfast. There were those that came to him and sought violence. They sought another method righting the wrongs they felt had been done to them. And Gandhi's mission, if I recall, wasn't it to free India from British oppression, from the colonization, the very colonization that we had here in the United States as well. So the intent of one person and the amount of power, you could say, well, he was one of these that was gifted like a prophet, like a man of God, like anyone else that has been written about in the religious books throughout history on this planet. I still feel that it's more the quality, I think, than the numbers. And maybe this is conflicting with information that you've gotten. I know one person can move mountains. How many people do we have to have moving the mountains? I would say
that many people are pliable. They vary between apathetic and open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that a strong person or group of people can influence those people. And, you know, the key is is that if a person is holding the frequency of the higher sources, then mm-hmm. other people can pick up that frequency through them. So I would guess that Gandhi was holding that frequency. I would guess that we're holding that frequency on the show tonight. I would guess that some of your listeners that are listening are evaluating, are these guys crazy? Is this true? Because you see, it's not about a belief system. It's holding an energy and a frequency of higher realms that they need us to communicate to others. So if there's enough people, and there's not enough, there are not enough, but if there, you see, one person can move mountains, but they can't violate free will, okay? At least not if they're positive. So people have to voluntarily choose, or else there's not enough votes, okay? When I say votes, by the way, I'm making it sound like you're going to a poll and say, okay, I vote this way. Voting is not, in the way that I'm talking about it, is not like that. It's like having your heart open and resonating to the higher forces that they can feel your intent.
In other words, what you're saying is it's not a Diebold voting machine.
No, it's not.
Okay.
That's what I mean. I mean,
okay.
it's like that if you look at the collective, if you take all of mankind, we make the collective. There's a collective energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the collective energy is something that can be seen at any moment by the higher forces. This is at least how I've come to understand this.
Yes.
And that they can, it's like they can look at that collective energy and they can evaluate if they're allowed to intervene in a certain way or not. Now, a small group of people can make a big impact on the collective because so many people are apathetic. And so a small group can pull the energy of the apathetic people or the people that are inclined towards wanting peace but not vocal about it. It's kind of like they can, how can I say it?
Influence?
Well, even on the other side, it doesn't even have to be in physical. It doesn't have to be like somebody standing on the street corner preaching.
That's not what I'm referring to. I'm just saying their energy in
their
space
energy, yes.
can
yes.
influence the whole.
Right, exactly.
They become part of the whole.
Right. They become part of the whole and they can influence it. And so this is where a small group can move mountains. But the thing is, it's very important that we do that now because there are forces that are trying to disrupt all that. And if they had their way, it would become impossible to do it because the other side would get too entrenched. Now, as of this moment, I believe there's a tendency for the positive to be slightly ahead. But there's always the potential for some event to occur that changes the balance. And that's why our prayers are so important right now. Right now, it's like urgent to develop this ability to make these connections and to hold the energy and to cast your vote to hold the positive energy from the higher realms so that they have the maximum permission from us to do what they can to help us through this really difficult period. There's a lot of people right now that are like, what's the word? They're like love bombs that haven't gone off yet. They're ready to go off, and they hear this information, and they connect with it, and boom, they explode. They're passionate. They know why they're here. Some of those people are listening to this call tonight. Please take it as a call to action if you're feeling that sense of passion inside of yourself. read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It's available on Amazon. It's available on my website, Casey's Back. Read it, because reading these things will connect you with these energies. They are in the words. Read. I'm sending out a free book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, to anyone that requests it. winfree@yahoo.com. And if you can't remember me, send an email to Don Nikoloff and he'll forward it to me. Because you know what? By studying this, it will move you from your skepticism. There's too many real events and connections that indicate that this is real and it's positive. But you can't just believe it because you've listened to an hour show. You've got to immerse yourself in it so that you're strong enough in your connection to these sources that you can become an anchor of light in your life no matter what's happening around you in the world.
And okay, Wynn, we are out of time. We're going to have to conclude the show.
Sorry about going on and off.
So I hate to cut you off. I know you're on a roll now. I want to let the listening audience know that Wynn will be with us again on August the 13th as well as August the 26th. So mark those dates down. We're going to continue this discussion and we'll listen to more of the channeling. We would also like to thank Terry very deeply and appreciatively for spending all this time with us tonight. And for the message and for answering some difficult questions. And let's pray for her vocabulary to continue increasing.
Don?
Yes.
If you want to take 90 seconds more, maybe I could call in the light and they would come in and just say goodnight to everybody.
Okay, with Seth's permission, because Seth has been patient and silent through this whole thing. I'm sure he's going to get hit with a rolling pin when he gets home tonight. So.
Seth, are you there, Seth?
Well, he may not say anything, but I'm sure he's there.
Okay. Terry, is that okay with you?
Okay.
I mean, we're not guaranteeing they're going to come in. So if you say they're not coming in, we'll just, say goodnight. But what we do is we call in the light, and that means that all of you listening, I'm going to ask you to join us in making our energies, intending for our energies to come together as a group energy. And that means that the part of you that's in other realms and other dimensions, to, ask it to join with all those people listening, even though you don't see them, they're part of the energy. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light. And we're going to invoke this group energy, and we're going to invite those positive sources in other dimensions, those positive sources operating in the law of one, honoring the Christed energy, service to others, to join with our matrix right now and make a protected space that only positive loving energies can penetrate. And we talk to the Elohim and we talk to Ra. We're going to leave the space now and let Terry see if they have a good night message for us.
Dear ones, we are very happy to be with you. We have been with you during this program. Wynn carries the frequency and brings us through. And we are within the sphere of your audience and available to each and every one of you. You have these energies available to you, each and every one. We bless you, and we bid you good night. We need, but we do not need. We love you more than you can imagine. Each one of you are worth so much and are so precious.
Now I lost. Oh, I lost the audio there. Are you finished, Terry?
Each one of you are very precious. Each one of you is a treasure. We love you, and we bid you good night. We leave, but we do not leave you. Adonai Eloheinu.
Thank you very much for that message. Wynn, any closing comments?
Don, thank you for letting us do this tonight. Thank you for all the editing you did on those audios to make them better. I know they were really rough. Thank everyone that's listening for sharing this. And I do a conference call every Monday. Oftentimes Terry is there doing the channeling or answering questions. Monday at 6 p.m. on BBS. So if you felt the energy tonight, if you connected with it, please join us on Monday for our Monday night conference call, broadcast live on BBS Radio. And that's it. Thank you.
And the Don and Wynn Show on Saturday at 6 Pacific right. time, too.
Well,
don't.
Okay.
It's a different type of show, but nonetheless, you're on that. So we want to acknowledge that. Again, Terry, thank you very much. And you were a wonderful guest, and we'd like to have you back again soon.
Thank you. You're a joy.
Okay, and with that, we are going to say good night to our listening audience. Thank you for staying up so late. This was a very exciting, very inspiring show tonight, and I want to also extend special gratitude to Don Newsom, the co-founder of BBS Radio, and Doug Newsom also. And let's not forget Seth there on the audio. In the meantime, everyone have a night filled with peace, love, and light. We'll see you tomorrow night, and for now, have a good night.